Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Lee, it's Halloween. We're telling scary stories.
Okay.
This is scary. It's just breaking. I just found it. Headline: this is the number one state Americans want to move to the most. You can tell where I'm going with this, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Hits close to home, so to speak.
Yeah. Move Buddha tracks moves all over the country. It's a relocation tech company. They used proprietary data collected between 2020 through October 1st, 2025 to analyze moving trends all over the country, where people are leaving, where they're going to. Number one destination for the sixth year in a row. And this is Halloween. I know it's very scary. South Carolina. Mm-hmm. What can we do about this? Gotta be something we can do. You know, if you're listening from somewhere else, we just want you to know it really sucks here. Just so you know. Yeah. And you should know, you know, what it's really like here if you're one of my liberal trolls listening from another state. Lee, as you know, everyone has a shotgun rack. They do, all of us. Like even in a Honda Corolla, right? I mean, Honda Civic, yeah. Toyota Corolla, right? Yeah. Everybody's got a shotgun rack, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's terrible here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Maybe we can start a rumor like the whole thing about the Walmarts, you know, closing because of the SNAP benefits. We'll just say that the borders to South Carolina are closed.
They're closed. Yeah, it's totally.
We'll start a TikTok rumor.
Yeah, start a TikTok rumor. South Carolina, the most popular state to move to for the sixth year in a row. And movers have shown more than double the interest in moves in rather than moves out. So we're going to have to do something about this. This is not good. Not at all. Like, because my plan is just, you know, I'm going to move here and then close the doors after me, right?
That's right, yeah.
That's my plan. Right. I was a refugee from the People's Republic of Charlotte.
Well, you've served the people of South Carolina well, so we'll let you stay.
Well, thank you. I like to say, like, I'm a South Carolinian by marriage because my husband's people are from Clover.
Right. Yeah.
And they've been there since nobody remembers how long. Right. So, right. You know, I guess it's kind of like if you marry an American when you're an immigrant.
Yes, something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. But people are just super enthused about South Carolina, unfortunately. And they say South Carolina benefits from this being a retiree state. And what a lot of people do, and I've seen this in my own neighborhood, is that young people are moving here for the job opportunities,
right,
and the low cost of living. And they have their kids. And then, of course, grandpa and grandma follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that is literally going on in my neighborhood. I've had two instances just in the last 2 years where, the guy got a new job somewhere else. And so when he moved, grandma and grandpa, who also lived in the neighborhood, sold their home too and moved too.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Yeah. So that's definitely a thing, but yeah, South Carolina, the most popular state to move to for the sixth year in a row. Now, I got actually. Did you see the story this morning? See, this might cause some confusion for people moving here from like blue states. Did you see the guy who got arrested for ramming a police car with his car?
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. This is not Chicago.
No.
Okay. You don't get to exercise your First Amendment rights by ramming the police car.
No, that's not going to end well.
No, it's not going to end well. And this whole idea of like, you can throw rocks and bricks and stuff at police. No, they will shoot you here.
Don't try that either. Yeah.
Right. And people will cheer for them, not you.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And no one will care that you are gone.
You know, you may even see some American flags that have a blue line on there as well. So, that should be your clue.
Maybe you should explain to them what that is, because they've probably never seen that before.
That's supporting the blue.
Right, yes.
Law enforcement.
We back the blue.
Yes, I.
Here.
I have one of those and do wear that out occasionally. Actually, we've even got comments about it.
Yeah, all positive, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So anyway, that was my scary story for today. How many people are moving? But yeah, and you know what I did when I first moved here, man, we didn't really plot out where we were going to live. We just heard like, hey, move to Simpsonville.
Right.
Well, I didn't realize like my on ramp to Greenville and everything upstate would be Woodruff Road.
Yeah.
That didn't sound like a bad idea, right?
Well, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think the traffic on Woodruff Road is like doubled since then. And you're just basically sitting in a log jam. So and the idea, folks, too, that we can locate every single business in Five Forks, the idea that we can like just, you know what I'm saying? Like just they'll all fit there. That's just no, that's not going to work.
I got to tell you, and I live between here and Anderson and spend some time going to Anderson because my wife's family is over in that area. And I got to tell you, the Anderson area has got the same situation going on. I mean, it's the traffic is ridiculous. I mean, I'm almost to the point where I'm ready to go back to the interstate to get to Anderson instead of the back roads that I usually take.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about you yesterday because, you know, we took my daughter to Clemson for a tour. It's one of the schools she's applying to.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm embarrassed to admit this. I've never been on the Clemson campus proper.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Clemson, but I've never really, like, walked the campus. It's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, my gosh.
It's huge. There's so much activity going on. It's changed so much since when I was there. My kids have gone there and my wife was there, so... It's changed a lot. You know, there is debate about whether or not that's for the better or not. But at any rate, yeah, but it's still a gorgeous campus, and it's a wonderful place.
It sure is. And I was thinking about you because I was like, wow, Lee has a longer drive into work than I realized.
Yeah.
It was quite a ways, but it was a nice drive. And you're right, we saw a lot of traffic. I kind of had this sort of picture of you know, that area being more rural than it is, but you're right. It's really picked up since I've last been there. So anyway, all right. So I promised the public scary story. So that's what we will do. Tico from Texas, scary story. Hey, Tico.
Hey, and it's a wonderful show as usual. Happy All Hallows Eve. I'm not a real big Halloween fan, but you are brilliant and you're adorable and you have a great team. I love this guy that's with you every morning. I never can remember his name. The guy that you're talking to.
Lee.
The guy that's with you right now. Yes, of course. And this isn't a real scary story, but it's something that I used to tell on cruise ships. I used to perform on cruise ships. And we were parked and docked, ported in Morocco. And it's a kind of an industrial area. It's not an area where people just go out walking around. But I got lost. I got out of the taxi, took a wrong turn. I was heading toward the ship. And I heard a clunk, a thump, and I looked behind me, and it was a coffin out in the distance. It wasn't real close to me. I thought maybe it had fallen off of a cargo ship somehow. So I started walking toward the ship, and then a little while later, a few steps later, I heard another thump, and then it heard a thump, thump, and I looked back, and it was that same coffin. And I started getting a little concerned at that point. I wasn't sure what was going on. I thought somebody was inside the coffin, walking like a costume or something. And I kept heading toward the ship. And I was walking a little faster. And then I heard that clump, clump again. And it was starting to get faster as well. So I was getting nervous. I started to jog a little bit. And then it was coming after me, thump, thump, thump again. And then the lid started opening and closing, and there was something inside this coffin. Right as I was getting close to the ship, I was about to yell out to the quartermaster that they stand by the plank that goes into the ship. And that thing, I thought it was going to knock me right off the pier into the water. And I remembered I had a bottle of cough syrup in my backpack. I reached in the backpack, grabbed the cough syrup, threw it at the coffin, and the coffin stopped.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. I would have contacted the authorities, right? Because maybe there's someone trapped in it or no?
The it's kind of a joke because it was cough syrup and it was a coffin chasing me. And when I threw the cough syrup at the coffin
stopped coughing. All right. Tico from Texas, you called me and waited all that time to do that. Are you serious?
Well, I love your show. And thanks. I think we both got here at the same time because when I was taking a friend of mine to the airport about 10 years ago, and I was searching around for radio stations, and I'm almost I had been here for about a week, and I'm almost positive it was you and that gentleman that was on the radio it was 106.3 or something like that then. It wasn't 98.9. And I think it was your first day. I think I remember you and the gentleman saying that it was your first day on the radio. Wasn't that about 10 years ago?
Yeah, good memory. Almost 11, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And you're great. Well, and we appreciate what you do. It's wonderful to hear you every... I try to catch you every morning, and you guys have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you so much, Tico from Texas. Appreciate that. All right, we'll be right back with a serious, scary story. Tico, I knew I'd get one of those. All right. By the way, if you don't have time to call, that's cool. Text us. You can text us an abbreviated version of your scary story for Halloween to 905-0989. That's 800-905-0989.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's jump on the line. Lots of scary stories for Halloween. Yeah, it's fun to pull the hosts toe a little bit, but let's do real scary stories because some of these are really, really cool. And some people won't tell them to you until you get to know them real well because they're always afraid of being judged. I love getting the scary stories through the kind of anonymity of radio. Chris from Charlotte, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tara. Good to talk with you.
Sure.
Yeah, I had an incident about 11 years ago. I had a great opportunity within my company to get promoted, but I had to relocate to Georgia, and I'm a North Carolina native. So went down there ahead of time, found a nice lease property, and my family wasn't able to come. So about a month later, I had to start the job. So getting in the house, it's a modern house. It's not old. It's not spooky. It's not scary. And I was going up in the attic just looking at how much space is up there to store some of our boxes and things like that, and noticed a picture frame and looked like somebody had maybe put it in the hallway at some time, like decorative. But it was weird with all these like geometric shapes, but it had like three figures with the heads cut off. And then I noticed up in the attic like a photograph of a girl. And I was like, that's just kind of weird, you know. So I started the job. They went back to North Carolina to get our house ready to, you know, to move from. And about 3 a.m. one night, I noticed I was in the bed and I was asleep, but I was awakened by the sensation of just weight at my feet. And it was crawling up my legs and onto my back. And I woke up and thought, you know, my wife, she surprised me. She drove down here to see me and everything. And, you know, and I was kind of excited. Split second later, I realized, no, that's not what's happening. And I got the sensation that someone was laying on top of me, and I was awake. And the only thing I knew to do was to sing like two choruses from some hymns that I knew. And the sensation went away. I got out of my bed, turned the lights on, knelt down at the bed and started praying, got my clothes on, went to work at 4:30 a.m. just to get out of the house. when my family moved to that house, my son would not stay by himself there, and my daughter would always see messages on the mirror in the bathroom when she'd get out of the shower.
Mm. Bet you guys couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Well, about 8 months in, and it was actually a property that we were contemplating on purchasing because it had everything we always wanted. Beautiful place, but there was something going on, and I got the definite sensation that whatever was crawling on me was female. That's what made me think, oh, my wife's come down here to surprise me unannounced. And I noticed that when we moved into the house and I set up my bed frame and everything, there was black hairs along the wall behind the bed. And it was just weird.
Mm. Creepy, Chris. Absolutely creepy. Oh, thank you so much for giving us a phone call. Jackie from Taylor's with another scary story.
Well, I actually thought of another short one that's a funny one, if I have time to tell you two of them. I was in we were delivering the Greenville News years ago, and there was a particular area on our route where I used to think, oh my goodness, I hope if we ever have an accident, it's not here. Well, of course, that's where I had the accident when I was by myself one night, rolled the car, crawled out on my belly, and was walking along. It's kind of secluded. And had to go between like two woods on both sides and not many houses out there. And I'm walking along and I'm scared because it's dark, 5:30 in the morning, winter time. And I've just rolled in my car, you know, so I'm scared. And I hear her walking over beside me. Somebody is following me. So I walk faster and they go faster. And so I walk faster and they go faster. And when I finally got past the woods and into a clearing, it was an emu.
An emu?
Yeah. They had a big emu, and it was walking along, following me. When I would stop, it would stop. When I would go, it would go. It just was funny. Now it was not funny then. It was very scary. But yeah, so when I got past the woods and it stepped out like into the light, and I saw it, just a huge bird following me.
Okay, I'm Googling emu right now. It is what I thought. I guess maybe somebody had it on a farm and it got loose, or...
Yeah, I think it was their pet bird because it was out in a secluded area where there weren't many houses around. And so I just presumed, I had never noticed it before, but it was there that morning. So.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at these. They got some evil eyes, Jackie. That would have freaked me out. Okay. Thank you for your phone call. Oh, Chuck in Spartanburg. Hey, Chuck.
Hello.
Hey, scary story.
My own.
Yeah, you're on the air. You're talking to the Upstate.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a story that happens about every 6 years around this time. This demon appears to me in my bedroom. And I didn't recognize it at first. But last night I did. And... I tried casting it out, but it wouldn't leave. Just hung around for a while. Then I finally figured out who it was. I recognized it. It was Lindsey Graham.
Oh, no, he's just running for re-election. It'll be okay. I can understand how that would scare you. I totally get it. I have similar reaction around election time myself. Thank you, Chuck, for your phone call. Whew, that must have been terrible. All right, moving on to the next story. You know what we'll do? I'm going to dive out early here so we have plenty of time in the next segment. We'll hear from Victor and got a couple of good ones on the text line as well. 905-0989, that's area code 800-905-0989.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scary stories today for Halloween, because why not? Text to rates on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. It's amazing how many paranormal events totally stop when the victim calls out to Jesus. Okay, I've got to do it then. I've got to tell you a story. The scariest thing that ever happened to me, I was 16 years old, living in my parents' house, and it started very subtly at night. I would hear this very, 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 very soft. It was always in the corner, and it was always the same chest of drawers, white painted chest of drawers I'd had since I was a baby. And it started as this kind of tap, tap, tapping. And so I would hear it, and there was a very subtle but scary sense in the room. And it's the kind of thing that if it happens to you, you don't really tell anyone. I didn't even tell my parents, because in the light of day, it seems kind of crazy, right? But it was a tap, tap, tapping. It was very light. Over time, and I mean, you know, I wouldn't hear it every night, but over time, number of weeks, it got louder. And then it was almost like a smack, smack, smacking, like somebody was taking, like, you know, their flat hand and sort of like hitting the shelves of the, you know, of it. And I kept telling myself, you know, tomorrow morning is the morning I'm going to tell my parents. And I thought, you know, they're going to think I'm crazy. And besides, like, what are they even going to do, right? So I didn't think much of it. And I was just like, you know, the daylight would come and I would just, I'll put it off till tomorrow. Maybe it'll go away. Some nights it does. Then it eventually turned into a slam, slam, slamming. Like the drawers were opening themselves and slamming themselves shut. I couldn't see it because my room was very dark at night. I didn't have a nightlight or anything. I was 16. And the feeling in that room of just sheer evil and emanating from the corner. It was only from that corner where that chest of drawers was. And I would lay there terrified. That's why I love to ask people to tell me these stories, because I know you've got them too. I can't be the only one that this kind of thing happened to. And I was laying in the bed, maybe the second or third time of the slamming, and it would start and then it would stop and it would go away, right? And instead of just hoping it went away, just out of sheer desperation, I said, Jesus, make it stop. And literally mid-slam, it stopped. And it never came back. And it never happened again. And I never felt the creepy feeling in my room. And I didn't tell my parents either. I didn't tell my dad till years later. And of course, he said to me, we've talked about it recently. He said to me, like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you know? I would have tried to do something. We would have done something, you know, with your room. And I said, I don't know. I just felt kind of silly. I just felt like, well, you know, people are going to think I'm nuts or whatever. But it was very real. And it happened many times. It was extremely distinct. And so, yeah, as that texter says, that has definitely been a theme this morning. But I did. I just said, Jesus, make it stop. And I mean, it just stopped like mid-slam. And that was it. Texter writes, Tara, watch the Blackwell's Ghost series. Very spooky. By the way, as far as my house goes, that was it. It was just the corner of the room. It wasn't like, you know, other people seeing things or anything weird like that. But yeah, it went away, and that was when I was 16, hadn't been back. Victor has a scary story. He says he's from Greenville. Good morning, Victor.
Hey, good morning, Tara. just to give you a little bit of background ahead of the story. This happened probably about 12 years ago, and I was working for an electrical company doing commercial work, and we had gotten a job to run a conduit for a news company to their new location that they were going to be setting up around Champion Square. And the route that we had to take for this pipe went through one of the abandoned malls that was abandoned since Hurricane Katrina. down. So it was me and the guy that was working with me, and it was just us that was in this abandoned area. So we decided during lunch or whatever to kind of explore a little bit. We went down this hallway, and it was one of the hallways that's behind, like, you know, behind the mall area where, you know, I guess workers and everybody go through. And you just got this real creepy, eerie feeling walking down this hallway. You don't really have power in here because it's abandoned. So we're going through there, and down this hallway, I look off to the right, and there's like a little room that has a door that's closed, and the door is locked, but you can look through a little 12 by 12 window that was on in the door, and you can see there was a bullet, like somebody shot through that window into that room. So I looked into the room, and on the ground was a little pile of blood. Now that kind of explained to me the creepy feeling that I kind of felt. So I kept walking down the hall and went through these double doors, and it opened up to, I guess I'm assuming it was like a Dillard's or Macy's or something like that. It opened up into one of the main shopping areas, and we're walking around, and, you know, with it being abandoned, there's no breeze, just like still dead air. And I look off to the left, and they have on the wall where they have probably like a 4 foot high by 3 foot wide picture frame that was on a hinge that had lights behind it, you know, to kind of show the light through whatever it was they were advertising. And it was kind of cocked open, and right there up against the door, the hinged frame, was a 4 foot fluorescent light bulb that was just leaning up against the wall on a greater than 90 degree angle. So you can see it's been there for a while. So we continue walking around, and all of a sudden we hear this loud pop, or like a small explosion. Well, I start investigating. I'm looking around because it's just us in there. No air movement, nothing. I go back over to that same location. That 4 foot fluorescent bulb is now on the ground, broken. That was like the creepiest feeling I've ever felt. I was like, look, we got to get out of here. And we just left.
And Victor, sometimes that's it. It's like, it's very hard to explain to people, like, the creepy feeling that you feel when something like that happens to you. Ugh, thank you so much for your phone call. Shannon from North Carolina has a scary Bigfoot story. Oh boy. Good morning, Shannon.
All right. Well, I'll share a couple of other things real quick. My ex-girlfriend, her son, when he was about 2 years old, used to stare up at the top corner of the room, up at the ceiling in the corner, and would just smile and laugh. And it happened numerous times. It was kind of strange, but that's not scary, but it's just real sweet, real cool. Could have been an angel or something. And my ex-girlfriend has a video of a shadow moving around my parents' front yard early in the morning. It's a shadow moving around the yard, and it chases a car up the street, and it comes back. It's really strange. But my Sasquatch story, no lie, Christmas Eve back in the early 80s, we went on a joyride. We were bored. We weren't partying or anything. We didn't have anything to do, so we just piled about 5 hours in the car and went across town in northern Shelby, across 150, and I said, I got to take a leap. Take a right. It was about 10:30 at night. I said, take a right and take another right on Eagle Cove Road or something like that. And it was a dead-end road with only two houses on it. And we pulled off on the side of the road. Two of us got out of the back seat of a little two-door car, and my best friend got out on the right side. And I was the first one climbing back in the middle, in the back. And my best friend starts hollering, go, 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 get in, get in, go, 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 get in, get in. And he's freaking out. I'm looking at him. He's in terror. And he's looking up at something real tall. And I looked over my shoulder, and I was holding the seat forward for him. And I looked over, and I could see something. I couldn't see its shoulders or the head. I could see the thick, matted fur. And he jumps in the car real quick. We take off. Who would play a practical joke on Christmas Eve about 10:30 at night, standing on stilts on the dead-end road, hoping a car would come by for hours? and the main highway was less than a tenth mile away. And back in the 80s, everybody carried guns in their cars. Who would walk up on a car with five people in it and scare the heck out of them and risk getting their head blown off? And there were numerous other things about the story, but he said it was not a bear. It was very tall. It scared the heck out of him, and it smelled really bad. And I drove a taxi cab for about a year and a half here in Shelby, and I met numerous people. And other times I've met people that have seen them, heard them, seen footprints in the snow, just all kinds of stuff. I know they exist, but I've seen one.
Tell me again, where was that you guys saw this, that you and your friend saw this?
That was in northern Cleveland County. It's in Shelby area, right at Buffalo Creek.
Okay, so near a wooded area then.
Yes, yes. And I've met people the one guy said he chased one in the woods twice, and I've met people that have heard them. They saw Nobby, they call it Nobby, up in Kayser, about 30 miles northwest of here. And he was on the news and stuff on some shows a long time back. But I have no doubt. I mean, there are practical jokes out there. Somebody mm-hmm. found a mask in the woods. But I know what I saw wasn't a practical joke. My friend and I saw it. I mean, nobody would be standing there for hours waiting on a car and standing on stilts in a smelly monkey suit.
Oh, yeah. You know what's interesting about that? Tony Dale, who actually called in earlier, who, you know, is with Common Sense Retirement Planning. He lives up in the Tryon area, which is up right at the gateway of the mountains. And he was telling a story about this guy who he didn't see a Bigfoot or anything. Tony didn't. But I believe the way the story went, he was at a gas station when a guy came in just completely wide-eyed and totally freaked out. You know, it was the first stop he'd come to. He had just seen one in the woods. And he said it was just absolutely terrifying. It was huge, very intimidating. And so he, I think, ran into the guy who had just seen it. And I thought that was such an interesting story. All right, folks, seriously, enjoy your Halloween today. Love when it happens on Fridays. So you can really dig in and enjoy it. Stay up late. I think we're going to watch creepy movies as your family and enjoy some bread. It'll probably be my kids' last trick-or-treating. I think after that, they'll be too old. So I'm going to get way into it for the kind of last time. No better way to experience Halloween than with the kids. So I can't wait. I'm excited about it. Folks, though, seriously, going to be it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see what happens this weekend. If we actually see, you know, tomorrow on Saturday, as benefits expire. I mean, the airlines, airports are already completely snarled, many hour long wait. This could easily, and J.D. Vance is right, this could easily roll into Christmas. If you've got plans for Christmas travel, I mean, I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. Maybe, hey, Democrats aren't going to be happy, so go ahead and plan to drive it. I mean, I'm not really sure. I got to tell you what one of the best clips I've heard on it, though, was from Charlie's show, was Representative Ralph Norman saying, and this is truly what happened. He has absolutely nailed it. Saying the reason the Democrats are stuck, the reason our airlines have long waits, are probably going to get longer, the reason we may even have riots this weekend, Democrats thought the Republicans would cave. That's how they got high and dry. If there's one thing they've always counted on, as long as I've been doing this 17 years, it's that the Republicans will cave. They always cave. Democrats couldn't even conceive of another outcome, and they're not wrong. And that's how we're all stuck high and dry. That's really what the problem is. And folks, when you think about it, Mike Johnson was going to be recalled by the Republicans for betraying them, for continuing to pass the Democrats' budget over and over and over again. The Democrats saved him, and he is huddled with them, not us, to write budgets, fund censorship of conservatives, whatever they wanted, until now. They didn't see this coming. I've never seen this happen, that Republicans not only fight back, but don't go under. That's, but Ralph Norman's right. And that was kind of a brilliant analysis. That's what's causing this. The Democrats having to learn, at least in the Trump era, Republicans don't knuckle under anymore. Have a great weekend.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.